You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 68. This is the English Cafe, episode 68. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's cafe, we're going to have another one of our Ask an American segments where we're going to interview and talk to someone to give you a chance to hear some different voices on ESL Podcast. It's always good to listen to different voices and try to understand different types of English. And, as always, we'll answer a few questions. Let's get started. Be sure to take a look at our website at eslpod.com and download the learning guide for this episode. The learning guide contains all of the vocabulary, sample sentences, definitions, culture notes, additional explanations of words, and a complete transcript of this episode. Our first topic today is going to be another installment of a new segment that we are starting on the English Cafe. An installment, I-N-S-T-A-L-L-M-E-N-T, is an additional part or an additional one of a series of things. So, for example, you can have a television show, and the television show could be four parts, four sections, and each section might be called an installment. Well, this is an installment of a new segment or section of ESL Podcast English Cafe, where we are going to interview other people and ask them to tell us something of interest, and then we'll talk about the language that they used. We had a very good reaction from our first attempt at doing this a couple of weeks ago in English Cafe number 66, so we're going to try it again today. Now, I was back in Minnesota for the Christmas and New Year's holidays, and I had a chance to talk to some people, to interview and record some people when I was there. One of the people I talked to was my mother. My mother and father both live in Minnesota, along with the rest of my family, or most of my family. So I asked my mother if she could talk a little bit about something that she knows a lot about. My mother had 11 children. I am the youngest of 11 children, so I come from a very big family. I asked my mother to tell us a little bit about what are the difficult things, what were some of the challenges that she had in raising or bringing up 11 children. We're going to listen to what she says first. It will last about 3 minutes. It might be a little difficult for you to understand because she sometimes speaks a little fast. But after we listen to it, we will go back and listen to parts of it again and explain any difficult vocabulary. She's going to begin by talking about what were some of the problems in raising so many children. She's going to talk about my brothers and sisters and how they were parts of different groups in our family. She's also going to talk about how they found their first house, the house where I lived in, I grew up in. And she'll talk about what she thinks is important in coming from a big family. Again, just listen, try to understand what you can, and then we'll talk about it. Here's my mother, Mary McQuillan.
Well, I don't think anybody goes into marriage thinking they're going to raise 11 children. That's for sure. But it was a challenge. And the biggest challenge was their health or lack of good health because their father had many allergies and I had many allergies. And you get that all together, you're up for a lot of problems sometimes.
Yeah.
But they were all the, it was like three groups. The oldest four, there was two singles and then a set of twins. And then the next were three, and then there was four. And they are all within a year of each other as they, their little group. So they themselves kind of kept together as groups,
right,
you know.
Right.
The oldest four, they all played ball and all this sort of thing. We lived in a neighborhood where there were other large families, and they played together real well, you know, mm-hmm. got along pretty good.
Yeah.
And as far as the hardest chore, I would say was, of course, laundry was a big thing. We had two sets of laundry equipment, mm-hmm. one on first floor, one in the basement. And when we finished off the third floor, the oldest four lived up there. And then there was the other two boys in one bedroom, the two girls in a bedroom, and then the youngest in the other room. So we had, we're lucky to find a big house, and we only found that big house. It was one day we were living on Lafond across from Hamlin Playground. And your father was out riding around the neighborhood, and he, this man came out and was just nailing a for sale sign on the house on Minnehaha. He stopped the car and got out, went and talked to the man, asked him what he wanted for it, looked at the house, came over and got me, and we went and looked at it, and we bought it. Because
is that
it
right?
Had these four big bedrooms, and we moved in. We lived with it as it was for a few years, and then he had a carpenter come in and remodel the kitchen and finish off the third floor. So then we were in business. We had lots of room.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing was keeping them to stay friends, not to fight over things.
Yeah.
You know, little things. But that, I think that was the biggest thing, was keeping them so that they not only got along with their own selves, their own family, but it taught them how to get along outside the family.
Yeah.
To be good to yourselves and be good to your family. Push comes to shove, your family are the only ones you got.
We just listened to my mother talking about being the mother of a large family, 11 children. She starts the interview by saying,
well, I don't think anybody goes into marriage thinking they're going to raise 11 children. That's for sure.
She says no one goes into marriage thinking they're going to raise 11 children. To go into something here means to start something or to enter into something. We also use that expression to go into when we are talking about your career or your job. For example, I am going to go into computer science. That means I'm going to study and work in that area or that field. Here, my mother is just saying I'm going to go into means I'm going to start, in this case, marriage. She also ends that segment by saying, that's for sure. That's a common expression when you are saying something that you think everyone will agree with, or you are very certain about. You know this is true. She then says,
the biggest challenge was their health or lack of good health because their father had many allergies and I had many allergies. And you get that all together, you're up for a lot of problems sometimes.
She says some of her children had a lack, L-A-C-K, of good health. to have a lack of something means not to have something or not to have enough of something. The biggest challenge, or the most important, most serious challenge, she said, was that my father and my mother both have allergies. Allergies, allergies, are when your nose or your throat becomes bothered or irritated by certain things, usually in your environment. For example, I often sneeze. To sneeze is achoo. I often sneeze during the springtime. I have allergies to some of the plants here in Southern California. She also uses the expression, you're up for. To be up for means to be ready for something, be prepared for something. It can also mean that this is something that is going to happen to you in the future. You should be up for problems. You should be prepared because you will be having problems in the future. Next, Mom talks about the different groups in my family, and she says,
the oldest four, they all played ball and all this sort of thing.
To play ball is a general expression we use meaning to play sports, such as baseball or basketball or football. Because so many sports end with that word ball, we use it as a general expression. To play ball means to play some sort of team sport. She then says,
the hardest chore, I would say, was, of course, laundry was a big thing. We had two sets of laundry equipment.
A chore, C-H-O-R-E, is a job, something you have to do, usually in your house, such as cleaning, cooking. The biggest chore my mother had was laundry, L-A-U-N-D-R-Y. Laundry refers to washing and drying clothes. And she said that we had two sets of laundry machines in order to wash all of the clothes for the family. She then describes how my father found such a large house for all of us to live in. He was driving around the neighborhood and he saw a man nailing or putting a sign, a for sale sign, in front of the house. And so my father then,
he stopped the car and got out, went and talked to the man, asked him what he wanted for it, looked at the house.
She says he asked him what he wanted for it, meaning how much it was. And my mother looked at the house, and then they bought the house. She then describes how they remodeled or fixed and changed the house, and they finished off or completed the attic of the house, which is the very top of the house, what we called the third floor. And then she says,
so then we were in business. We had lots of room.
And then we were in business. That's a common expression to mean then we were ready. She doesn't mean they were in business, like a business that you work for. It's an expression that means we're ready. Now everything is prepared. We're in business. She ends the interview by talking about how important it was to teach me and my brothers and sisters to be friends and not to fight. And she ends with some good advice that you would expect from a mother. She says,
be good to yourselves and be good to your family. Push comes to shove, your family are the only ones you got.
That expression, when push comes to shove, S-H-O-V-E, means when things are difficult, when you are in a tough or difficult situation, this is the thing or person that you have to rely on or depend on. And in this case, it's the family. To shove means to push a person. So push and shove are similar ideas where you're moving someone usually against their will. Often when it's a fight, there was pushing and shoving. meaning the people were starting to fight. Maybe they were waiting in line to buy the new Nintendo game. And that happened here in the United States when some of the new electronic games went on sale. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to this short interview with Mom. So thank you, Mom. And now we'll turn and answer a few questions from you. Our first question comes from Moyao, M-O-Y-A-O, from Japan. Moyao's question has to do with the difference between the word criteria, C-R-I-T-E-R-I-A, and standard, S-T-A-N-D-A-R-D. Criteria is actually the plural of criterion, which is I-O-N at the end instead of I-A. Many people, however, just use the word criteria for singular and plural. That's becoming more common. Criteria is a rule or a principle that you use to judge something else. For example, the criteria for this job are that you are able to speak English and have a college degree. If you don't meet those criteria, notice we use the word meet, the verb, M-E-E-T, meaning that you have obtained or satisfied this requirement. If you don't meet those criteria, then you cannot get the job. So that is how we are going to determine or judge whether or not you get the job. A standard is often used in the exact same way. Usually as a noun, it's something related to a government agency or an official organization, such as a school. The school has certain standards for its students, and it's a list of things that each student must know before they get their high school diploma. This has become very popular in the last 10 years here in the United States, that each school and each state has certain standards. And the government organizations, other government organizations, also have these rules that everyone is supposed to follow. Criteria tends to be a little more specific and is related usually to making a judgment or assessing something. Our next question comes from Colombia, from Alejandra, A-L-E-J-A-N-D-R-A. Alejandra wants to know the difference between the words through and throughout. This is a good question. Through is often used as a preposition to mean to move from one place to another. He walked through the door. He went from one side and went and moved to the other side. The word through can also mean by the means of. I am going to make a lot of money through investing in the stock market. That is the means or the way that I am going to do something. Throughout, with an O-U-T at the end, means in all the different places or in all situations. For example, it is raining throughout California today. That means it's raining in almost all the different parts of California. It can also mean at different or at all different points in time. For example, throughout the month of January, we are going to have a big sale at our store. Means during this time of January, at every day in January, we will have a sale. Our final question comes from Marie, M-A-R-I-E, in France. Maria wants to know what the meaning of the expression to call it quits. I'm going to call it quits means I'm going to stop. I'm going to end. I'm going to stop doing what I am doing. I work until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I call it quits. Quits. I call it quits. I end. I stop working. It's not possible to say, I called it to quit, or I called to quit it, because this is an idiomatic expression. It's just the way that this expression is used. If you said, I called to quit, that would mean that you called on the telephone and talked to your boss and said that you were going to quit your job. You were going to leave the company. That's something completely different. To call it quits then means to stop. And you have to use quits with an S, not just quit. We're very interested in your opinions and comments about some of our new sections on ESL Podcast, such as interviewing different people, what we call the Ask an American series. If you have questions that you want to ask someone and have us interview someone here in Los Angeles or in other places, email us. Our email address is ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. We'd love to get your feedback on our new sections in the cafe. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.